Okay, great.
Time is 1:59. So reading call to order, roll call. Mar Goshingvale.
Here.
David Warren. Yep. All right. Public comments?
We have none.
Okay. Additions and revisions?
We have none.
Consent items. We have 5.1. So the summary from the last meeting we had in September. I had no comments.
Okay, yeah. Great. So we'll go ahead and approve as written?
Yes.
Yes?
Second.
Great.
So now we can go into number 6, continued items.
We have no continued items. No conceptual items and no preliminary review items.
Okay, so that brings us to the sports basement sign program.
Great. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. Mark, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good to see
you. Yeah, nice
to see
you.
It's been a while. Hi, David, how are you?
Those doors are replaced.
Sorry about that. Wasn't looking.
You might want to hang on to that.
All right, so we've got staff report from Ryan Driscoll. Ryan, if you want to go ahead and...
Yeah. So this is a master sign program amendment application for sports basement. It's at 1041 Marketplace. There was an original master sign program approved in 89 for the larger development. It included the Valero, the hotel, there's a medical office building, sports basements, shopping center, and the daycare, all as one program. And so this application will be amending just the portion for the sports basement. Shopping center, and really actually just their signage on their in their center, no one else's. So the first thing is they have an anchor tenant roof sign here. It's centered above their primary entrance. It's 150 square feet sign area. It's 41 inches high letters, 8-inch deep letters. They're internally illuminated. They're mounted on a metal frame. Which is on the roof there. It doesn't project above the roof line here at the top. And that would be considered, we're considering that a wall sign, first wall signage. They also have a proposal for what we're calling kind of secondary anchor, anchor tenant secondary wall signage. So there's 6 of these. And they're on either side of the main entrance here. They're 7 feet by 7 feet, and they're painted directly onto the wall. They're green, and there are these kind of international logos for different activities, and there'll be a phrase above each of them with 12-inch, actually, was it 14-inch letters there? And there'll be 6 of those total. And that together would be here 366 square feet of sign area for these. So together with this sign and the secondary wall signage area would be 516 square feet total for those signs. And so, as I mentioned, we would regulate these as wall signage with the zoning requirements. And the zoning ordinance limits wall signs to 75 square feet of sign area and one wall sign for each wall. Now, given that this is a master sign program, the requirements can deviate from the requirements in the zoning ordinance. And so staff is supportive of the proposed signage here for wall signage because of the building is set back quite a ways from the front, from Market Place, about 200 feet, and there's a number of trees in the parking field in front, and it also is pretty balanced given the long building frontage of the building and design of the building. The applicant's also proposing very minor changes, I think, to the monument sign, to the existing monument sign location, the existing sign area. It would all be the same. It would just be some pictures, logo letters, and form on that instead of a just a plexiglass design there. And then the applicant is also proposing a mural along the back wall of the building. It is 530 feet long, yeah. And it would be the entire length of the wall. So it would include the wall that's back here, too. There's two different heights, about 28 feet, about 13 feet high. And the final design hasn't been determined, but the current plans here show proposed a natural scene kind of design. This design, like I said, hasn't been finalized yet, but in terms of this mural, it's classified as a miscellaneous sign in the zoning ordinance. So they would be allowed, if it is not commercial in nature and does not pose a hazard to public health, safety, and welfare. And it can be reviewed through the zoning administrator for final approval. But given that this location is pretty prominent and it's quite large, staff is recommending that the mural be go through the ARB with comments, and then we would take it through the Arts Advisory Committee for the next review with them, and then go on to the Planning Commission for review with the Planning Commission. And so it'd be on a separate track from the rest of the signage than what's proposed here for sports basement for review. Staff supportive of a mural concept, I think, on this wall. I think to kind of beautify the that wall. It's quite large and imposing. I think there's been some graffiti in the past there. And the image here shows some landscaping in front. And I believe I was out there recently. You guys removed some of the landscaping.
This is an older photo, yeah. And unfortunately, these shrubs mature at end of life, and after last year, they died. So we removed them in principle just to get paint on the wall, yeah. And the paint was had more to do with waterproofing that wall. We were having an excessive amount of leaking coming through that. That side of the wall, it's visible inside the building. You can see 300-400 foot of looks like a weeping, and we thought it was had to do with the parapet in the roof. And after a lot of inspection, it came to be that the expansion or the cracks in the way the wall was tilted up or poured or built, there's something along this 3 foot off this top here that creates a big leak. So we had to do an elastomeric coat on the outside. And then we chose a neutral color. I can show pictures. Looks much the same. And then on the top of the elastomeric, we ran a coat of latex just along the bottom so that graffiti and other types of things could be, you know, cleaned up quickly, whereas I didn't want staff or anybody have to, you know, go out there with elastomeric on a regular basis to pick up that kind of stuff.
So some of the landscaping has been removed, but I think that would be ideal given that it would be a mural.
Agreed.
And be discussed. My last comment, there is some signage, or was some signage, temporary signage facing the Einhorst Trail, and it's allowed through a temporary sign permit. The sign's been up there for quite some time, so the existing signage would be required to be removed. But just make a statement that would be removed through staff, kind of follow up. So staff has provided some kind of questions here for the Architecture Review Board to consider, and the applicant is here for any questions and additional details, and I'll turn it over to the board.
You want to tell us a little bit on how wonderful
the lighting
is?
I was looking at it, I'm like...
It's durable, and it won't rust.
No, absolutely. And I'll step back a second. The new group, for those of you who don't know, we're a design firm that focuses on architectural signage, environmental graphics, branding for companies, specifically in built environments, architectural built environments, landscape, what have you. And we've been fortunate enough to work with David on several of his properties. And really, the value that we bring to David and then to an environment or a retail center is the ability to appropriately brand a specific location. And in this case, a pretty large former Osh, I believe is what it was. And so the idea here, and immediately what we began to notice, is certainly there are some things that we needed to apply to the architecture at a certain distinct scale, because due to setbacks, trees, things that kind of grow in front of some of the frontage and what have you. So again, what we've done is kind of put together a kind of a program of graphics and signage that we think will help brand that, bring a nice aesthetic to that particular building there, and ultimately provide him the visibility that he needs to get people into the center and feel like they know where they're going. We've got the nice little monument out front, which we're not proposing to get any bigger or anything like that. But one would say that's great, and you make your turn in there, but you're still a little bit of a, I mean, granted, you've kind of got the throat, and that's why we want that nice wall sign at the top. And then really kind of reinforced with some branded icons and symbols that we think will enhance the overall program. And then just, again, speaking a little bit, not too much, regarding the mural, I mean, what a fantastic opportunity for to enhance a community-used area on the Iron Horse Trail. I would hope that we could all agree that as you look at the back of that building, it's got a pretty industrial, dead look to it. And I think if we can all get behind the idea of developing something that can speak the right motif or the right message, so, and again, reinforcing from Ryan's perspective, not a marketing message by any means, but something that beautifies the area, specifically a nature motif, kind of goes hand in hand really well with the activity of what's going on on the Iron Horse Trail. And I think you see this a lot nowadays. A lot of cities and municipalities are choosing to have murals done in these locations for these various reasons. So we'd love to see there being support behind that mural. And of course, you know, David making the investment to do that for the community is fantastic. So in general, that's really just trying to give the center a little bit of love. Again, get that master sign program up to speed. Going through a mid-80s master sign program can be a little challenging from time. So now we've got a document that can regulate the entirety of the center and hopefully kind of gives the city everything that they need for future tenants and what have you. So I don't know if you have anything you'd like to add.
First, the old master sign program is a little challenging to work within and with. And so, working with Ryan, I agreed to pay New Group to update the master sign program on the principle it'd be easier for all of us to handle. And so, within that, I had hoped that by cracking open the master sign program, we could eliminate some of the problems of it, which I see as it covers a much larger footprint than I think is a reality. The reality is just that the marketplace now is us and the tenants on the right and left of us. It's not really the medical center, not really the gas station at the far end or Hyatt or whatever it is down there. With regard to the signage, Dixon's right. We've elected to continue to work with them because I believe that they've continued to deliver signs that work well for us. They're on brand, but they last. We've dealt with some other signs in some of other stores prior to working with New Group that have had maintenance problems, wear issues, UV sun issues, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm impressed with the materials that New Group always proposes to us, that the signs continue to look new as the day they were put up. Most recent example that we have is that we did signs down in the Prune Yard Shopping Center some years ago, and the Prune Yard Center has now changed hands, and the Prune Yard Center have come to use New Group for the whole center. So I think that's a testament to New Group. In terms of materials, We make the investment in every building to move from fluorescence inside the building to LED. The fluorescents have a life cycle, and then they go out quickly. So we like to use LED also on the outside. Keeps the signs maintenance-free or more maintenance-free and well-lit in the right ways. And then with regard to the mural, I'm an active user of the Iron Horse Trail. I think it's an immense, valuable asset to our communities. And I mean from the mural, or the trail connects to me down in Walnut Creek all the way up, up through Dublin. I ride it on a bike. And I know that the trail has some access issues. And I was standing out back here with the mayor of San Ramon talking about my use of the trail and saying how it's really industrial from here down towards Dublin. It really looks like you're on the backside of a lot of, you know, big walls. And, you know, when you go this way, it gets a little more friendly. You know, as you go through Danville and Alamo, there are great off points where you can, you know, like in Danville, Pete's Coffee and the Railroad Museum are a terrific area to park and launch. And with Sports Basement, we have a store in the Park Presidio in San Francisco. And we have a lot of people that physically activate and use our parking lot and go out into the park, go out on bike rides. We don't require people to use our parking lot to come in and shop with us. So we see this building as a launching point on the parking lot, the parking field on the other side of this as a launching point for that activation. And so the idea of the mural is one of helping make it a waypoint, a finding point of, yeah, when you're down that trail, you know, if you say, yeah, that's that industrial building or that industrial looking wall, it's not so recognizable. But if you could say, yeah, there's a little parklet that I think is brand new, actually on the trail right there. I don't know if the parklet's the right way to describe it, but
there's
a new node right there. And then if that could be married with something over here, both mural and then more formal going into this. And the formality of this axe point is not for today. I understand there's a lot of different bodies that need to be involved to make that happen. But that's the direction that I'm hoping to go towards, which helps explain why the mural is a piece of that puzzle.
Well, I appreciate the efforts that's gone in and the new group. We're a very good group to work with. The concept of the signage, I guess backing up a little bit, I didn't know you guys were there. I just passed through and I see the little signage there. And looking towards there, it just is a dead elevation. So I appreciate the sign, the aluminum letters. But in addition to that, supplemented by the icons, I think that's fun. I don't consider that as text. To me, it's fun. It reads retail, so I appreciate that. I'm okay with the square footage. I think it serves a balance that you have it on both sides of the elevation. Now, is the color of, is that your brand? Is that Hunter Green?
The green is a brand color, mm-hmm. But it just, the green came from just signs that we've seen around, mm-hmm. The freeway signs and all that kind of stuff. So it just happens to kind of coordinate or dovetail into that.
Yeah.
But again, the idea is international symbols.
Yes.
That, you know, provide quick reflection of what's in there. Mm-hmm. You know, we have people that are, we're new to San Ramon. Are you a gym or what's in there? I don't understand what Sports Basement is. So the hope is the symbols represent more easily what's in there.
So that was just the reason why I asked if it's your brand color. Is there another color that you consider that's got more sophistication than that bright green? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it goes either way. I've seen some branded logos for companies, but they do you use graphic license to change the color if it's something related to signage or what? I mean, you did it with the aluminum letters.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it has to do with the environment that's being mounted in or mounted on, so that we're talking about architecture at this point.
Yes.
So what's that material behind them? So you obviously want something that's going to have some contrast and pop.
That's right.
So we just kind of, we felt that it's on brand, the color, so we, you know, it's kind of what we chose to do right out of the gate, just seemed like the right thing to do from the standpoint of reinforcing the company brand. So, and we haven't really discussed whether or not, you know, an alternate color. I suspect, you know, and again, we haven't had to dig too deep into that, but if there's an alternate color that could be selected, I'm sure it could be batted around. And
I mean, it's a personal preference. When you see brick and then green, it's just that green brick has some kind of association. You see red and green together. But I just brought it up if
sure.
there's some consideration for other colors.
Yeah.
I think it's a fair point.
Yeah.
We'd be happy to...
I mean, you could go to white and then, you know,
something
have
that
the
has
icon actually or the you know, the detail on the inside could be reversed to that little bit of green, minimize the amount of green possibly,
mm-hmm.
or
yeah.
to a different
something
element.
That's current because a lot of the green awnings, I relate it to the green awnings with brick, it's just been used in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
And if there's something more clever,
mm-hmm.
another color, it would set a good foundation for this new sign program in this niche.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the icon. I think it brings value to that somewhat bland elevation.
With the wall.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the monument sign, it's going to stay the same size. Is the color here accurate?
You know, it was interesting. We were looking at that. It's probably going to shift. I mean, as you know, in our world, prints, screen, and all that, sometimes they shift, and I would say probably these prints are not accurately depicting the color,
mm-hmm.
but it is definitely, I mean, the brand is green, and it's probably a little more on the olive side. Than,
yeah.
So
just think about that green and what green you do in that for
yeah,
the association.
How they relate to each
so
other.
So what happened was in Campbell,
mm-hmm.
we asked the new group, our brand, if we were to sort of express it in color or material or composition, was an old chalkboard.
Oh, okay.
And so they created an effect of an old chalkboard background.
Okay.
And so that doesn't necessarily translate that well, but that was a little bit of what was on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not clear if we're going to be able to execute on it or not, but
mm-hmm.
It was done well in Campbell. And it essentially it had a chalkboard look, a moldy variegation of color,
mm-hmm.
And then around it had inset a little LED, so it washed a little light, and then the punch through of the letters were white, and it looks handsome during the day, and then visible during the night, which is that sort of
mm-hmm.
conundrum that we always seem to find ourselves in.
It still looks good both night and day.
Yeah, that was the idea. That was a challenge that we had put
mm-hmm.
to the new group, and I think they did well on that.
So actually, as you consider colors, this will relate to the buildings that all ties together nicely.
I think so, yeah, absolutely.
Of course, I'd probably go with this. This is a gray-green versus that bright green. But
so you like something more muted rather than that.
Or more classic or mm-hmm. some sophistication. But this is a sports basement store, so I'm not looking. Maybe the bright color is the way to go. But that's why I question this color versus the green I see in the...
Mm-hmm. Very different.
The aluminum letters I like.
Mm-hmm.
And is it rear lit? So you see the...
They're face illuminated.
Oh, face?
So, yep. So at night, the letter forms will illuminate.
Mm-hmm.
And, there'll be LEDs.
So it's aluminum on the sides and
so
white?
So there'll be a fabricated aluminum letter form, and then they'll have illuminated faces.
So it's white.
So what color
Correct.
Would it be during the day?
White.
Is it white?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we want that kind of same effect day and night. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then just one concept on the mural
mm-hmm.
for me is have you guys looked at the possibility of how that could be, you know, some of the things we reviewed for art? You know, the City of San Ramon has some things for art. Is that something we can engage an artist to, as opposed to just picking an arbitrary mural? Is taking advantage of someone.
The public art guidelines.
I
had rejected that.
Oh, okay. I'm just
so
asking the question.
I'm just going to step in real quick and let you understand my concerns, and then I'm happy to be a part of a public art project as well. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want something that was political. I didn't want something that, you know, had some other meaning. I just wanted something that was breezy and easy and non-offensive in so many different ways. And so it was just essentially a notion of state bird, manzanilla, state flower, in some, you know, park setting, because that whole...
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
I mean, we work with you guys on the Iron Horse Trail, and it's all about the Iron Horse. So what if you look at San Ramon history, the Iron Horse Trail, what mm-hmm. its historical purpose was, mm-hmm. what its current purpose is, mm-hmm. and even you might even mark off mile markers, or so if somebody's jogging or biking, mm-hmm. so they can test their speed or how far they walked, or because mm-hmm. you've got a length there, mm-hmm. so it's about scale, it's about exercise, it's about health, it's about San Ramon, mm-hmm. it's a place not Concord or
right.
Danville.
Yep.
So, and I think when you research that a little bit, I think the city has things that we threw at them for some of the trail, and you'll find a lot okay. of information. And I think the arts group would appreciate it being special for this community.
Agreed.
Not that I dislike, I think your scale and the image you have is a good direction. Mm-hmm. It understands, it's what we used to call super graphics, if you're old enough. Mm-hmm. You know, so I like super graphics, and I think it's a good train. Just make it special to this community.
Agreed.
And that shouldn't be hard to do.
Right. And this, honest God, this is just me kind of mailing it in. And
it's
not
a
really
placeholder.
Yeah.
But
it's something.
It's a decent one, actually.
Dixon kept on going, you got to have something. You got to have for something for me. You got to have something for me. And Ryan, well, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And I just, well, this. Yeah. But I didn't really think that it was going to be ultimately that. It's just I didn't want the political or somewhat controversial. It just seems like some of that stuff goes that direction, and I can't have that on my retail building, if you understand.
Yeah.
Sure. And I think it makes sense with all that you've said, with you want it to be a waypoint, and mm-hmm. to what David yeah. said, I think mm-hmm. you know, the state bird and state mm-hmm. flower, that's good, but maybe we can make it a little bit more localized, a little
sure.
less statewide, and I think
yeah.
that would be more than sufficient.
Yeah.
Get it approved. The thing that I was looking at as far as the lettering on the wall, the main sports pavement mm-hmm. signage, is you have it supported from below mm-hmm. the sign above, so that it shows off the structure that's mm-hmm. holding the sign. Mm-hmm. Could it be where it's more like your examples you've given in the presentation, where it's supported from behind, so you don't lose sports basement to this pitch black underline. It's more of a background fade back to the roof, where your sports basement comes out and pops. So it doesn't give the sign sense of you have this sort of articulated fingers holding your sign. It's more your sign reads rather than the structure.
Sure. So I think we can. The direction was purposeful. In that I had always liked the Baker Hamilton building. It's a big brick building in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. It's got that big metal superstructure. And I thought that the form of that is a handsome form. And we tried to execute on that on our building in Walnut Creek.
Okay.
So there's a metal superstructure and these letters that are put onto that. That sign predates New Group, but it's a little bit of a fail, in that I was trying to not do an internal lip sign. And so we got some thick marine grade plywood, some channel lettering, and then we took the plywood and we power jetted it. So it aged it and got all that nice, you know, aged grain just pop, and then we painted it, and then we had these big goosenecks that come out to light it back, and it just, there's too much going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it started off with the Baker Hamilton as being the inspiration, and then trying to sort of figure out how to go from there. So I don't know if that answers your question, but
yeah.
at least that's the source of the direction that I had given New Group.
And I think those types of things, what we can do, what we wanted to try to do is minimally impact the letter form for readability purposes, not have that horizontal going through kind of behind it that was raised up. But the other things that you can begin to do is you can take that superstructure, and that superstructure can be painted a color that might blend a little bit more with the background, if that's kind of a direction that we receive to say, hey, make that disappear a little bit more, possibly. That's always one option that you can do. Kind of take a look at that overall roof and go, you know, what color can we spec where that maybe disappears a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And I think that might help with the look, overall look of the building, because you have all these wonderful little pops of sign and color, and then you have this, and then this black underline on your roof, which is sort of like a light brown aspect. So.
Is the storefront kind of a pale green right now, or is it black? So if it's black, I guess the black accent works, but
It fits the.
I'm trying to remember if it was a green storefront.
It's a more anodized black
dark
aluminum.
Dark anodized. Okay.
And then
so it is dark anodized. Yeah. Okay.
And then we did remove some of the windows and put in non-tinted windows, but with the tint. That Osh had put in there to deal with the morning sun. It just looked like one big black mass up there.
Going back to the mural, I think this can go on forever. It's subjective, the concept, but it's good. It's a good start to take somewhat bland wall and make it live or something nice to look at. But I think both David and one mentioned, I think the subject of trying to bring Samarone in, I'm for that. And I just want to reflect what I've seen when I just traveled to France last month and saw blank walls. And it was clever how they used some of those blank walls to paint some things, and whether it's other windows that mimic the surrounding buildings and then actual people. You know, people, figures on there to make it look like there's life. So
I was just in France and I took a picture of people on the wall.
So, I picture something like that where there's people on the Iron Horse.
Yeah.
There's people that could be painted, against the wall with maybe some of the archways that are in the opposite side of the building, the brick. And so it almost looked like three-dimensional. And there's people in outfits or workout outfits. That reflects San Ramon. Take it to that level. But I get it's all subjective.
Yeah, the area is rather flat right there. And so, truth be told, I fantasize about how that area can be activated with people that are on the trail. I don't know exactly what that means, but I'd like it to be more of a waypoint. I'd like there to be a water filling station out there for water bottles. I'd like there to be, easy access to a good bathroom. I ride with a senior group of road cyclists, and for the seniors, they mark their trail by where all the bathrooms are at.
Is it infeasible to create access from the trail to your cell?
No, I mean it can all be done. It's just it's a tough road in that there are so many bodies in that 20 feet that go from the asphalt that is the trail east. It's the railroad, it's PG&E, it's EPA, it's the parks, it's the city, and it's just like everybody is, and it's just this blender, and I'm just not sure
5 years later
how easy I can get through this without some real help from the bureaucrats and the elected officials of San Ramon to say, yes, this area represents an area where we're going to put some energy around. Because if I just all on my own, then, I'm going to be study after study after study after whatever, and I just don't know that I can absorb all that cost and brain damage.
It's daunting.
Right?
Yeah,
other than to just say, this reflects a vision that I have to activate.
Like the trail needs it.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That part of the trail really needs it.
But anyway, I want to bring up France because there was a lot of flat walls that looked like they were in three dimensions. Something with the shadows that they painted and the archways and people. And it just drew people to take a look. And so that's an opportunity that, as opposed to just a scene or a mural, something that has life. Just take it to that next level. It could be simple.
Well, sure, and that's where I was going to go. Is so
something simple.
New group asked me how complicated, or whatever, and I said, well, I need it to be something. I mean, actually, I started off the discussion with Ryan and Dixon and said, where does a complex paint on the outside of a building go from just a complex paint scheme to an actual mural? I was trying to sort of test that ground a little bit because I just need it to be executable and cost efficient. You know, some of these murals, especially when you think about the size of this building, can be daunting. And I don't know that, you know, if I don't start getting inclement weather quickly, I'm going to be in any mood to spend a lot of money on that anytime soon. So again, it's within the realm of executing. The more simple, the more kind of two-tone graphic it is, the more easy it is. Mm-hmm.
My sense is, just to give you an idea, there are artists who will do very accurate, you know, we did downtown Los Altos, and if you go there, half the corners have all the same artist. I think it's a lady, fairly local. Very accurate, very realistic. I mean, from across the street, it looks like a door and a window with something for sale inside.
Right.
That's for a pedestrian 10 feet away walking. Here, you're on a bike, you're in a distance. The scale is what it is to me. It's an impression. It's not a detail, you know. So think about it at 30 miles an hour or whatever and walking.
You're not allowed to go 30 miles an hour. No,
that's true. You might reach that periodically on your bike. But I would encourage you.
Yes.
I wouldn't overdo it and I wouldn't get too detailed. Right. So I think about the scale and the fact it's incremental movement.
Right.
And there's sections that you're judging yourself as you move from A to B to C to D. Yep. Think about the sequence and the scale of that. So I think you're right on it. Just keep it reasonable.
You use the term super graphic, and that's, you know.
I think that
there's
is
a scale to that, that, you know. Yeah. You know.
So I like the San Ramon. I like the scale. I like the notion of where you're actually reading it from. So
it doesn't have to be complicated.
Right,
like the underpass in the Dublin Boulevard, when you go to the under 680 overpass, you see the very detailed murals on both sides.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever drove down?
Yeah.
That's very detailed.
I've actually done a mural in one of my stores. So in our Bryant Street store, if you go inside the store and you look north, there's a huge wall inside the store. And as you're looking at this mural, you're looking at San Francisco cityscape in 1950. And it's because the building was part of the Acme Brewery, Hams Brewery. And so I wanted to be able to bring out or call a notion of what the history of the building is through this artwork. I happened to find an artist who had some particular passion in that area, and I was able to, with some me paying for some materials and a little bit of his time, execute on it, but it still went quite high quickly.
It can.
Right.
Yeah. Got a lot of square footage.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to bite you.
Yeah, exactly. It is going to bite me, which is why I started off with, like, you know, where do shapes and stuff go from complex paint job to mural. Right.
So what we could do is go over some of the points here and just see if we covered it. Does the board support the proposed anchor tenant roof sign and secondary wall signage with total 516 square feet of wall sign area? I think we're all in agreement, yes.
Sure.
I mean, together supplemented with a graphic icon, I think it's great.
Just to piggyback on Warren, I think if you can make the structural element, architectural, I'm fine with it. If you can't, then I agree, let the letters be the architecture. And I think you started to make the structure architectural by your spacing and looking at the window mullions and all those things. So we're doing a thing up in Old Sacramento and we're replicating the same, you know, the cannery area did the same thing, you know, and Gallup, the, what is it, the chocolate factory.
Ghirardelli.
So I think you can do that really well, and your image shows that, but I think it's right. It has to, I'm not sure it's quite there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Just from the quick rendering, it seems heavier than you might actually want it to be, because like all the explanations that you give for the sign,
the structure behind is this light lattice work behind it. There's a lot of it, but it's all small and light and fades.
Right. So go one direction or the other.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of in between. Yep. Yeah. You can work either way.
I think the concept is good. It's I picture or visualize something I find in Emeryville or you know, a lot of the refurbished buildings where they use a lot of that truss-looking metal to it's like an erector set that becomes industrial.
Mm-hmm.
So you could play on that and have
the legs. And I think that's part of your motif of it.
Yeah.
The workspace, you know, your shops aren't real big on frills.
Right.
We're going to give you a bargain basement discount, and that I think can be expressed in the
And that's
well.
you really kind of nailed it. So the idea is that you know, our no frills were stripped down kind of thing, and so the refinement is to how to make it visually sort of say that just from all these different visual inputs that you get from pulling into the parking lot to the branding to the chalkboard to just when you even get in the store, you know, the concrete isn't polished, it's just sort of left, the wood fixtures, pipes, all that.
It's the concept of the old philosophy of the way billboards are put together. You see some of that metal work with billboards from the 30s, 40s.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you guys, I know, are trying to play on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, you take the front or the back. But
can you touch your building from there, Armstrong? Can you park your bike, walk over, and touch the building?
Yeah.
What would happen if you put a chalkboard there?
Right.
Let people meet you here at 6. We're doing a lot of those now, kind
right.
of little wayfinding
yeah.
places.
Yeah.
Lost cat
right.
call such
right.
and such. I know it's a little bit out there, but
Don't think it's out there. I mean, I appreciate the place that it comes from, because I'm sympathetic to it. My challenges in dealing with it is maintaining what's on it,
mm-hmm.
right? And so,
nobody would do that.
But I do like the flat area there. I do want that to be an area for people to launch or people to, you know, I want to get off the trail and rest for a minute or everybody's parked out in our parking lot. They've come around to the side, and they're all, you know, getting ready to go on a ride or launch on something, but they're queued up there or staged up there.
You know, Pete's Coffee does that, right?
I do.
I mean, Pete's makes tons of money by being a destination.
We're
doing parklets in front of Pete's all over because of that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're drawing that traffic.
Exactly. So I'm on the same page there. I just don't. You know, given I have a certain amount of private property where I can do that on, but, you know, there's that access from my private line of property to the trail.
Yeah.
And if I do anything more formal out there, then all of a sudden there's going to be all these informal trails into this area. And,
liability goes with it. Phew. Yeah. No, understood.
So that's where I just I have to figure out a long-term path of navigating all those different interests into something. I just hope it doesn't get too muddled and become industrial gray.
How long did it take the city to get through it with all the arsenic in the soil and all? it's complicated.
Yes.
So I sympathize.
But I've done projects in the Park Presidio. I've done projects in Berkeley. I've done projects in San Francisco. Done projects around, so I'm not understanding.
Really,
I know there needs to be a path set that I can, you know, weather with whatever amount of my time, and then, you know, some modest investment. But
I think the sympathy would be there, but I would talk to staff and find out how many hurdles it entails to see how realistic.
I think it's realistic now. Is I know that the city really wants to make. To reverse the trails on the backside of so much, and they want to flip that around and make it, you know,
right. Sure.
And so we're a business that's willing to be a partner in it. Mm-hmm. I just can't be the sole driver.
Yeah, fair enough.
So item number 2: Does the board support the proposed anchor tenant monument sign design I think we talked a little bit about it, but I think we were talking about the industrial look with the metalwork. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that monument keeping the same signage square footage, if rather than just a box, something that creates like some fabric of metal that would actually tie into your building, it would stand out from just a box sign that's everything. I don't know what we're limited on the sign as far as the design. You know, I've seen some nice signage in like more in the Emeryville areas incorporate some metal.
Sure.
I think that would enhance.
If there's something. Be open to doing anything.
It's just a suggestion.
It ties the two together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about the metal work on the building sign, I think that would really bring life to that sign because it looks like taking that and just changing the box.
Yeah, no, it's old 80s stucco exterior. Doesn't really provoke any perhaps, love from me.
Perhaps the black metal that you're proposing in that maybe can be incorporated.
What they did is that. They, in my sign in Campbell, mm-hmm. and I don't know the constraints of it, but there's a decal that floats in a water bath or this type of bath, and they dip this aluminum into it, and it takes on whatever that decal is. And I had wanted wood to be around my sign, and Dixon kept on saying, you can't have wood. And so I'm not going to put wood up on a wall 60 feet where it's just going to rot out. So they came up with this other alternative solution, which is weathered well. Mm-hmm. And so it allowed me to have this faux-looking wood frame. When you're down in the parking lot looking up at it, it looks wood mm-hmm. for all intents and purposes. And then this chalkboard background with mm-hmm. our letters on it. So I agree with you. It's a long way of saying it.
That brings us to the next one. Is a non-commercial mural appropriate on the big wall that we just talked about to run along the Iron Horse Trail? I think we discussed that. Unless you guys have something to add?
No, I think we think it's appropriate.
Yeah. Okay. Does the board support the proposed natural scene mural? I think, you know, give it more thought. I think the mural scene is a good step to start and see how. I think for me it'd be nice to have some, maybe a few people in that scene. Mm-hmm. It will look more lively. I think taking to the next level without getting, like I said, daunting with too much detail.
Mm-hmm.
Or political.
Yeah. You can hire Renzo Piano.
There you go.
I get, 15 minutes of his time?
Yeah.
No, I agree with you, and I've been trying to find the right person to do it. There's this woman who seeks out buildings to do murals on, and her mural or her concept of choice is weeds of California. And so she'll do weeds on all these different buildings.
Cannabis?
Not that kind of weed. So, you know, there's all different muralists who have their ideas of what they'll do for free, and then if you want something else, then all of a sudden it's a whole other cost. I'm trying to find the muralist out there who has a concept or an idea that is within keeping of what you guys all said, what's comfortable to me, and that won't be cost prohibitive.
You know, it's a good start. This, again, don't have to. I just brainstorm. See this brick detail on the side? This is the side of the building?
Yeah.
You know, you could actually mimic that mural with some brick, but then the rest will be like people or some fun plants. And
right.
So it feels San Ramon, and it's taking some elements from the building into the back.
Well, I mean,
which is what I saw in France,
if,
some of that architecture. But you don't want it, like I said, it might get
I don't
want
to be argumentative with you, but I want to say, I want a parklet there. I want the people to be real.
Mm-hmm.
I want the mm-hmm. landscape to be real. I want the building to just be enough of a waypoint, of a marker
mm-hmm.
that it's easy to describe. You know that building that. So when you're coming down the trail,
landmark.
Boom, yeah. It's there.
I'll meet you there.
Right, yeah. That's where, if I'm going to be honest with you, that's where I want to direct this. less than to make it an artistic thing beyond that.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting too far into the weeds here. But let's say you start on the north side with history and you've got an Indian encampment and you've got agriculture,
mm-hmm.
then you got the rail,
mm-hmm.
then you got the highway,
mm-hmm.
and then you got today.
Mm-hmm.
So you got five panels, and each panel is an abstraction. Very simple Native American elements. The orchard is just a series of repeating trees, not trying to be realistic. The Iron Horse Trail is a front train face plus some rail cars.
Yep.
You know, abstracted, simple in panels, and you're done.
I agree.
You know, and so you're not trying to get into absolute colors and absolute reality. And to me, that's going to make it memorable,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to keep it in a scale that is sequential and reasonable, as opposed to creating one 500-foot long thing.
Yeah.
It's going to drive you nuts.
More than happy with that. That's the idea.
That's just me. Right. I mean, everybody's going to have a different vision.
Like I said, there's going to be so many different
ideas. Yeah, and that's why I was trying to be more abstract than this.
Yeah.
I like that idea, though, of snapshots, you know,
Of
the entirety of
and then you can dimension them, so each one is 100 feet, so when you're walking, you know, you've just gone a quarter of a mile.
Sure.
And then you're done.
Sure.
These has some value, and it makes you special, and it makes San Ramon special.
Right.
All right. I won't say anything.
No, that's a great idea.
That covers our question. Is there anything else?
No, I think that answers all the questions that we put out. I can try to summarize the comments that we received, and then we can go from there. Okay. So, in terms of the monument sign, we discussed that first. Consider how the monument sign background color will relate to the secondary wall sign colors on the building, and so trying to kind of relate the colors from the monument back to the new signs that are being proposed on the building. There's also a comment regarding the wall sign structure. If you can make the wall sign structure more architectural, the board has a preference to either go more architectural in terms of the structure of the wall sign support. If not, then go in the opposite direction, which would be just consider taking the colors of that support structure and making it more muted so it's not competing with the visual of the letters of the sign. And then the board recommended incorporating the use of the some of the metal materials that you're using on the wall sign into the monument signage and trying to relate those signs more closely. And then in terms of the mural, the board supported the concept of using the mural on the back of the wall and would recommend incorporating some of the local history into the mural design. And there are a number of ideas thrown out there, but the goal was to try to bring a more local focus into that mural painting. So those are the comments that I received, and then the board supported just the changes in the monument or in the master sign program as a whole is presented. And then we can certainly, with the revisions that you're requesting, have staff work with the applicant on finalizing that before moving into the next phase of the mural review.
I guess with the mural, as it's evolving, is that just going to be reviewed in-house?
I think the way that the staff report identifies is that typically with mural signs, they're considered signs as part of the zoning ordinance, and so it's something that we do regulate as far as content of murals and making sure that they are appropriate. Typically, it's a zoning administrator function that reviews it. Because it has somewhat more of a artistic element to it, the intent is to and because of the prominence of it, is to have the Arts Advisory Committee review the final concept of what they've chosen for their mural. And then I think it's Planning Commission would serve as the final review body as opposed to the zoning administrator.
But we're looking to uncouple the mural from
yeah.
the signage.
Right,
have to be on separate paths, or else
that's right.
I need to sign up there quickly.
But it doesn't have to come back to us.
It doesn't have to, as long as the elements have been incorporated with what the board has recommended today. That can move forward without having to come back.
Okay. Well, based on the summary that Cindy just outlined, I say we proceed forward.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you all.
Yeah, appreciate your time and review of this.
Appreciate your spirit of Europe. You're bringing to the community. It's good.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I shake hands, but I'm a little sick today, so I'm going to try to keep it contained over here.
You can take a cookie. We have napkins.
Get your flu shot.
Yes. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
David, thank you.
Nice to see you again,
Mark. Good to see you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you. All right. Moving on.
Do we have any further items?
Just project updates. We don't have anything right now on the schedule for January as far as upcoming meeting items. We had talked about...
Maybe?
Yeah, Better. We had talked about potentially having a preliminary review of a new submittal that just came in on the Church of the Valley, which is on Saramon Valley Boulevard, kind of south of near Corey Place, kind of south of Corey Place, so a little further south on Saramon Valley Boulevard. They have a church.
Morgan.
Yeah, south of Morgan.
North of West Side Drive.
It's before Montevideo, right?
It's over there.
Yeah.
So it's in that
kind
of across from Montevideo.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
But they had their proposals for a memory care facility and a private school on their site. So there's an existing church there. They're looking at expanding two additional buildings. But we've been talking about just the completeness of that item, and it may or may not make it to your February meeting. So February's a little further out. As far as January, we... At this point, don't have any items that we're expecting because January 11th is between the holidays. We're pretty close, right? So we don't have any items yet, but in February, we're expecting probably that one item to be far enough along to have at least a first round of architecture review. But it's probably going to be one of those pretty controversial ones because it's in a pretty old, you know, residential community surrounding a fairly old church building that has a lot of land. It's two buildings on site, but they've got a very large parcel. So they're looking at funding their school by putting a memory care facility on that property. So
this is all being run by the church, or is it being sold off?
The expectation is that the memory care will be run privately as a private operator. I don't know if they are going to be subdividing, but I don't know if they're ultimately going to sell it or if it's some sort of long-term lease or something. I'm not really sure how they've structured that, but it is a privately run care facility. So that's potentially coming in February. As far as project updates, last time we met was September, and so couple of items that have been approved since you last saw it, September, the Magnolia Square beauty store, I think is how it was presented at the last meeting. That was approved by the Planning Commission. The Chang residential site, the 43 lots on the 195 acres, that was approved by the Planning Commission in November. The Aspenwood project, we had been going back and forth with having a separate alternative to the design.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, the City Council reviewed it as part of a call for review, and they decided to keep the design that the board had seen at your last review. So there was an alternative that the applicant had provided that didn't change the structure of the architectural the elements of the building, but the colors and the materials were amended as an alternative. The council ultimately decided that they were going to go with the original, more modern kind of appearance with the, rather than like the siding, to keep with the with that more wood type of look that was presented with the metal railing, to go to a modern, more modern design. So those are the three that really kind of stand out to me. And then at the last meeting, I know we looked at the senior care senior apartments in Dorney Valley. They are under construction right now for their first phase. We're expecting that to open spring of 2018, so that's kind of right around the corner. First 260 or so senior apartments is going to be opening up, and then the second phase will open up, start construction after that. But Dorney Valley, for the most part, all of the residential subdivisions are complete at this point. In the near future, we're probably going to have the Dorney Valley, the commercial part of that Village Center project come in. So that should come in sometime early next year, because I know that they're moving, trying to move forward with the commercial aspect of that design. So that's all the project updates I had. Gary, did you have any?
Yeah. Just for round out one thing, a tutoring facility was approved in the old City Hall building. So
yeah.
You know, that was kind of just an internal thing. It's just minor, but just since you guys are around, you might want to just know about that. At City Center, the second tenant came through last meeting, a gym called Club Equinox, and they're going to be on the same side as the theater, and it's a three-story, and they're a very high-end fitness center. There's like three or so in the city, and there's a few in Southern California. Be three stories with a outdoor pool on the top deck level, so that was the second tenant that came through. There was a concept review on Deerwood Road, place,
so there's a lot of Deerwoods, but it's in that area, drive, place.
Almost at Bollinger, there's at the very corner, you know, there's some housing, and then there's a commercial building, and then there's some more housing, and they came forward with a concept review. That tenant had been vacant for some time, and it was originally built as a data center with very limited parking, so it's a hard thing to lease, so... They came through with a concept review. They're considering tearing down the building entirely and putting housing essentially there. So they just asked us for some feedback. Hmm. And then what I thought was more interesting, and you've been around long enough to appreciate this one, the El Nido House, long-standing thing. You know. Anyways, it was really just an appeal to the Planning Commission of a ruling by the zoning administrator. The current owners installed, tore down the wooden fence on West Side Drive, and they put a chain link fence and put barbed wire on top of it. And so, you know, it was a code enforcement thing, you know, put barbed wire up. So, as part of the appeal, it came out that there's a new buyer, maybe even a new buyer this week sometime, I think. So the new buyer has plans again to rehab the building, bring it up to some sort of usable standards, request moving it, you know, closer to Forest Hill Farms, and, you know, as a kind of a big project, but, you know, so it came back, it's coming back to life. I think it's been many years they've been chatting about that one, but it all started with us, just as a, you know, is barbed wire and chain link fence okay or not.
Yeah, that one's, the El Nido House was built in 1851, and it's moved a couple of times throughout the history of it. It originally was at the Alameda Contra Costa County line, and it's kind of slowly made its way north, so... That building has been there for quite some time, and over the years there's been construction that has occurred around it, and condos directly immediately on two sides, and single-family homes to the north. And the Harland family, or Joel Gelderman, who's the kind of the beneficiary of the trust that owns that site, has decided to sell that property. And has had it on the market for quite some time. It's actually considered a residential site. It was changed from park to residential quite a few years back, but it's sat vacant with the house also vacant for some time. there is a new property owner who's looking at purchasing that property, winterizing the building, and then ultimately relocating that building to another site closer to Westside Drive next to Forest Home Farms. And in place of the house on Ceremon Valley Boulevard, they're looking at either an assisted living facility is what their current concept is. Ultimately, because the site is zoned for residential, there could be some other residential use of the site, but at this point in time, they're looking at removing the house, renovating it, and bringing it back up to kind of more habitable structure, and then in its place, doing some sort of either care facility or residential is another option. So that's probably going to Planning Commission for concept review in January. We have another item that potentially is going in January as well, and it's the Freya Neighborhood 5 concept, and eventually this board will see it probably closer to February or probably February at your February meeting. As you recall, Freya has 5 neighborhoods. We've seen the first 4, and we've done both the preliminary architecture and the final architecture review, and so those are on track to get their model homes built and constructed in the next couple of weeks, the permits issued for those models. The 5th neighborhood was originally supposed to be the senior apartments and the market rate and affordable apartments. That's what it was originally approved in 2014 for by the Planning Commission. Then there was an initiative that changed that to for sale multifamily type of units. And that site hasn't been fully entitled yet, so it has an initiative that identifies up to 180 units, but it still has to go through its own entitlement review for the development plan itself. So the layout of where the homes are going to go and how it's going to be designed, that's what the board will get to see. So we have a 12-acre site, but we don't know exactly what the site layout's going to be. So the board will get a chance to look at the subdivision design and then the architecture. In talking with the applicants, who is the property owner's Catalantic, but Claremont Homes has the first option to build on within that neighborhood. And so Claremont Homes is probably going to be the applicant for that project. And it's looking like they may be moving away from the 180 units and going to a different product type than what the initiative originally identified. So I'm still waiting for the final application to come in, but instead of multifamily, they're probably going to be doing something closer to single family, which the initiative would give them some ability to do. So depending on what it finally ultimately comes in as, I'm expecting that you'll probably see it sometime early next year.
So the roads are done already there? You can drive through there? Or still
the roads are, they're almost there. I think they're working on with East Bay Mud for to make sure that they have the necessary water service and some fire department access, things. But ultimately, they're fairly ready to
hard
to
head site.
Yeah,
that you can drive in.
Still a hard head site, but
the road continue down into San Ramon Valley now?
Purdue, so they've done quite a few improvements over the summer on Purdue and the that extension behind Beta Court. So a lot of those improvements are happening right now. They're working with the property owners that back up to that private road, and they're finalizing those improvements right now. But that road is probably where the model home, kind of the road leading up to the model homes, you'll probably access off of Ceremon Valley. On the Bollinger side, there's a number of improvements that are still have to go in, and eventually they'll make that connection through. But initially when they first open up, you're going to access the community from Saruman Valley Boulevard.
And then I can't remember the last time we met. Had we already approved the changes to the Crow Canyon specific plan?
No. That's a whole.
You can be the short answer.
That's a whole other project that we're working on. As part of our economic element analysis that we've been doing, we've been kind of taking a closer look at our our retail base and studying some of the economics. And as part of that, there's been a discussion of needing to update some of our specific plans. The Crow Cane specific plan was adopted in 2006, but there are a number of elements of that plan that haven't been able to be implemented, in part because redevelopment, a lot of the plan focus on redevelopment agency providing opportunities to activate that plan. And now that redevelopment has gone away, we have to update that plan. And kind of the economic analysis was the impetus to leading us to look closer at really in 2018, what do we now need now that we have City Center and now that we have the Crow Cane specific plan, the North Camino Ramon specific plan, because the Crow Cane plan was done as one of the first specific plans, and that was ahead of having the vision for City Center or North Camino Ramon. And so in light of now the changes that have occurred in the rest of the city, there's a need to reevaluate that plan and see are the concepts that we had for that plan still appropriate. But we are starting to see quite a bit of activity in the Crow Cane specific plan area, and so it's an opportunity to reevaluate and to make sure that those projects that are under consideration are still meet the intent of that plan, because Rome's project just got approved, and was approved on the at the corner of Saruman Valley and Deerwood, Fostoria. The budget site is kind of under construction right now. The Wendy's just opened, so we're starting to see quite a bit of activity in that area, and just reevaluating the potential for that specific plan. So, in the near future, that's in the pipeline.
So that entry point, going back to the Aria, that one at San Ramon Valley Road, that's really a back exit then. That's not the main.
It's actually supposed to serve as one of the main primary entrances. So there are improvements that are going from San Ramon Valley Boulevard up through Purdue, which will now be free preserved parkway, essentially, right? So there's a new signal that will go in Saruman and Purdue.
It's unfortunate because you got the wheel works. It just doesn't seem like a welcome intersection to come to a nice grand neighborhood.
Right. So one of the things we did talk about is San Ramon Square, the shopping center that's right there, that could very likely change over time when you have several thousand people that live up in Korea.
Well, if you got one, it's been on this last leg there for a while because it's not a major thoroughfare. I mean, most people just jump on the highway to go across there. That's in case 680
it's
another way around.
The side of the city.
And so,
it's almost like I want to tear all those businesses on the side and create something nice.
And that seems like
by eminent domain, they need to do something.
So
there.
Some of the comments we made was, we didn't want to decide what that area should look like too quickly, because when the development comes online and all those people start living there, they're going to, the marketplace will probably figure it out pretty quickly.
What I see, a 20-year plan of that San Ramon Valley Road, of that San Ramon? Mm-hmm. It could be just your traditional, almost, I see condominiums and retail below, and it could be a nice lined street with trees and lampposts like a little downtown. Mm-hmm. And then you have neighborhoods that come in through there. Of course, you have a lot of fast foods, tire shops, and that quarry, I wish that was gone. Mm-hmm. That's the wrong location for that.
We actually had a concept application for that Morgan's Masonry parcel.
It was definitely true because I got so many phone calls. Hey, you're on the architecture review. What are you thinking about this? I'm like,
oh, there was a consideration for that?
Yeah. So the plan was to put in
180 units there.
Yeah,
and
fairly high density.
It was
very
really
high
density
okay.
there, and it was kind of rival what Rome had done on the other side. It would really kind of set the entry gate for that area, but it just, I think with, there were one of the repair shops just was not going to sell.
Yeah.
And
kind of a donut hole situation.
Yeah.
Morgan's wraps around an existing repair auto repair
Got
shop.
It. Yeah, and that guy just wasn't going anywhere.
So that project is what triggered us. Remember, I think we talked about lowering the density.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We talked
well,
about.
Well, I mean,
we
even the specific plan itself, with the one that's going in at the skate rink and then
mm-hmm.
Rome, and then if that one was going to go through, with three buildings, and you got your entire
pretty much, yes.
entire residential
mm-hmm.
right. capacity there,
mm-hmm.
you know, looking at it now is wondering, yeah, if that one at Morgan's Masonry was going through with Rome and the skating rink one, you know, the infrastructure, the commercial infrastructure wasn't there for the, just kind of the, like you said with downtown strip, you know, the sort of serendipitous effect of that area is now, oh, I gotta get in my car to go, I just don't feel like cooking tonight, I can't
yeah.
just walk down the street and go get something, I gotta.
I think that's what's happening in Fremont. They have that same, they're transforming some of the those boulevards that were just mixed use of businesses low at the one stories. They're trying to do more higher density and putting retail. I
mm-hmm.
see that corridor as that opportunity because it's right along 680 corridor and the missing apartments or leasing spaces for younger millennials to attract because
mm-hmm.
it's a bedroom community. It's all pretty much townhomes and single family
mm-hmm.
homes and that's what's really needed in San Ramon. But I think
what's,
it starts.
What's hard there is that's single-sided
mm-hmm.
because you got 680
yes.
and you don't have enough depth to
no.
do mixed use.
Yeah.
So that is going to be a freeway-oriented retail. So once you've done that and you bring traffic to that, you've got too much traffic to pedestrianize it.
Mm-hmm.
So you do a Pleasant Hill downtown where we created a loop. So you put your main street on the loop, your traffic is here, you loop it, you get your main street and your density and your mixed loop on,
mm-hmm.
mixed
right.
use on the loop, and you could actually pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
Herman Ease had students do a study probably 15 years ago, and they tried to show what it would look like pedestrianized. And
mm-hmm.
he called, and I got a free lunch, and he said, this ain't going to work, is it? It's not going to work.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think you need to revisit with what's going with Purdue, which was kind of an afterthought on Freeman. It was never supposed to be there.
Yeah.
So it's an anomaly now. I mean, it's an entry to a community that is not.
Mm-hmm.
So, but once you make that an entry and you repurpose that and redistribute your densities and rethink your densities in mixed use, I think there is a chance to
mm-hmm.
gentrify that area and take some properties that are underutilized now and
mm-hmm.
really kind of create a value.
That's Car Repair Row, though.
Yeah.
Beta Court.
Yeah.
Or off of there, yes.
Yeah.
There's always been a... Does Alex get the downtown, or does well, I think Alex has it now. So I think you have to say, okay, it's weighted that way. What is there that supports
the
that?
Support, right?
And make it all as a total. You know, it's
and it's okay to have two destinations. You could have the
just make it hierarchical. So
mm-hmm.
his is the hierarchy. It's got the infrastructure, and if he redoes like the plan that was done for Bishop Ranch, if you start to realize that, take the parking in. Start to face the streets with architecture, he'll have the density to be rather self-sustaining,
right.
plus pretty good access, not the greatest, but good
mm-hmm.
access to 680.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I
it's
think
kind of similar to like how Santana Row has kind of changed, right, all the neighborhoods around it. And you have Santana Row, which is like the big anchor, and then it's really spurred a lot of the other neighboring developments
mm-hmm.
kind of beyond that to be more of the support of Santana Row, because everybody at one point was just in Santana Row, and then they realized this is madness, right? I can recreate that on a smaller scale further away and still have that neighborhood feel
mm-hmm.
and be able to have like a smaller, easier access rather than just the main destination. You know, you have your primary destination, and then for all the kind of visitors of San Jose, and then you have where more of the locals go, kind of in the outer neighborhoods. Yeah.
It has the feel of El Camino Real,
mm-hmm.
or could be, but if you see El Camino Real through the time, gentrification,
yeah.
they have a mix of condos and retail,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
but it's still
high-speed
traffic
yeah.
so it's hard to get the pedestrians.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway.
All right. Well, anything else? Updates.
Meeting
Thank
adjourned.
You.
Everybody have a nice
Merry Christmas.